Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris Dillard.
And my name is Mike Royer.
And on today's show, we talk about 2015's film lineup, the premiere of Marvel's Agent Carter, the bite-sized Ant-Man trailer, Fox's Year of the X-Men, Daredevil, and more. But, you know, before we begin, I want to talk a little bit about us. How's that sound, Mike?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I mean, let people know who we are before we kick off this monumental show.
Yeah, I mean, it's our very first episode, and it's going to be a weekly deal. So, I mean, we're going to be putting in, like, 50-plus episodes every year. So I think it's good that we have a nice little benchmark at the start. I'm sure they'll get to know us over the year. Possible years, so that's good.
And you know, hopefully, maybe they already know us.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably going to be the first couple subscribers are going to be the moms and the dads, and they're going to be like, "Oh, our sons, they're so cute with their little audio podcast.
We're totes adorbs." So, why don't you kick it off, Mike?
All right. Well, we thought it would be a good idea to talk about the other person across from us rather than the self-serving chatter. So, my co-host here, Chris Dillard, he's the type of guy that has a monumental stack of comic books just falling over him every single day. He's just digging out of them. You're the only one that's really looking forward to Wednesday. Most people out there don't really understand what Wednesday means to them, but you know it's comic book day.
They're thinking hump day. I'm thinking new comic book day.
Yeah, that's true. And on top of all that, you have this passion that can't be chained. So you intentionally go out there and try to dig up all the news that you can. And you've already started like two different comic book news websites.
Yeah, people who are listening probably already know Comic UI. We've been around almost 2 years. 2 years is April. It's hard to believe. And Nerd Traffic, it's been about a year, but it's really started picking up, I guess, in the last month because it covers, you know, more opinion-based stuff than just news. So, yeah. And anything else you want to add?
Man, I don't know.
That's fine.
You want me to keep talking
about
you?
just for the uninitiated, occasionally in the podcast, he might refer to me as Oatmeal.
Oh, yeah. We should talk about that.
Definitely just a nickname I picked up in college because my family are Quakers. So when you think Quakers, what do you think of?
You think of oatmeal.
Exactly. And
yeah,
so,
I'm going to try my best to refer to you as your real name because I think it might throw some people off. Be like, why are they talking about breakfast food, man?
Yeah, it'll make them hungry.
But yeah, you're definitely going to be the lead guy in charge of this whole project. I'm just here to be the dude that you kind of just throw ideas off of. But
exactly. You know, let me. I'm going to cut you off there because I'm going to jump in about you, Mike.
All right.
Mike here is, you know, he doesn't have the comic book collections, but he does read occasionally, and I think you bring in that extra perspective. You know, I'm enveloped in the comic book world, right? I have investments and attachments and history, and you don't have as much as I do. So, like, your perspective, you're like, yeah, but what about this direction or what about this?
Yeah, and I have one pretty solid shelf of some trades that I'm really partial to, while as you have an entire bookshelf, probably two, and long boxes and short boxes full of single issues.
Yeah, and you know, it's not about, like, we're not here to, like, this isn't just for comic book people. This is for everybody. We want everyone to know what's going on. And I think you bring that extra outside perspective in that sometimes, you know, I need. And I think it's really going to bounce off each other as we go through this.
Yeah, I think that'll be super helpful.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Mike's a big media consumer. I think you do a lot more TV and movies than I do, even though I like to think I do. You know, like right now I'm stuck on, like, I got this big Muppets kick, the Muppet Show.
Oh, man,
I mean, that aired in the 70s, kick. Right? Uh-huh. It's definitely not new stuff to talk about there.
Yeah, me and my wife are pretty heavy TV movie consumer. She's actually working in the industry right now. I'm just a web technology guy out here in Los Angeles. So I like to delve in a little bit, see what's getting down over here in Hollywood. But it's fun, it's interesting, and this is exactly the reason why we started this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well, I think that's good about us. You ready to jump into the news?
Yeah, let's kick this. All let's right. kick this shindig off. Let's oh get to the gosh. Meat.
Yes. So biggest meat of the week, right? Agent Carter premiered on ABC last Tuesday. All right, two full hours of show. Now, like, you know, we're used to like half hour shows getting like an hour long. You know, that's pretty respectable. But to give us 2 hours on the first day, they gotta have a lot of faith in the show.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, really surprising. I think a lot of us out there who keep up with these Marvel TV shows, you know, are going to gauge everything from this show off of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was pretty groundbreaking for what it was doing, you know, connecting a TV show, which TV used to be considered like the lame duck. That's kind of where careers went after they kind of flamed out in the movie industry. But now TV's got this whole new golden age. They've made a TV show like 22, 23 episodes a year. So now they're moving on to their second project, Agent Carter.
Yeah, I mean, what's really awesome for me is, you know, Agent Carter, or, you know, Peggy Carter, Haley Atwell, premiered in 2011 in Captain America, right? 2011 Captain America. Okay, she didn't appear again until 2013 Iron Man 3 release for the one-shot, again, titled Agent Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they brought her back a couple of years later, and now she has her own TV show in 2015. Just the fan base for this character, who's really not that big in the comics. I'm going to be frank. She's really not that big in the comics because, you know, she's set in the 30s, 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe she's getting her own show. That's awesome. It's mind-blowingly sweet that we got a female-led comic book television show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's exactly what we need. I mean, we don't necessarily are looking for female leads. We're looking for things that are different. And I love this because it's different, and it's just even better that it's driven by a female character. And I want to know what you thought about the pilot for the first two episodes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the first hour because it was technically two episodes. So I'm going to go with the first episode.
Okay.
I'm going to give that a 4 out of 5 on my scale. And, you know, I'm only doing this because there are a couple things I really, really liked. You know, it was a great setup for the short series. Agent Carter isn't a full 22-episode series. It's only 8 episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very short. The hour long, so 8 hour total. It's like a couple movies is what you'd look at it as.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of mystery, intrigue in this world because, you know, there's these organizations. We know about S.H.I.E.L.D. We know about HYDRA. We know about the SSR, the Scientific Strategic Reserve, or whatever it is called.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, this is introducing something called Leviathan. And it's doing something, like, they're supposedly stealing Howard Stark technology and weaponizing it. Now, we've kind of seen that a little bit in Iron Man 2. You know, even Whiplash's father, Ivan Vanko, showed up in this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught that or not.
Man,
he was
yeah. No, I totally remember that now.
Yeah,
because we were watching it, and I was like, "Why does that name sound so familiar?" Like, there's no reason it would just pop in my head like that. Man, I didn't follow up on it, but now, oh wow, okay, that's even cooler now.
Yeah. So they're throwing this stuff back to other Marvel movies. The SSR is, you know, showing up in S.H.I.E.L.D. There's so much going on, and I really like it. Like, I want to know what's going to happen next. How are they going to take 6 more episodes and keep going with this organization called Leviathan. And just to give you guys a heads up, Leviathan appeared in a series called Secret Warriors by Jonathan Hickman. Secret Warriors is actually kind of what they're basing S.H.I.E.L.D. off of as well. Because they have the Daisy Johnson / Quake character. Mm-hmm. A lot of the other villains and organizations in there have shown up on Secret Warriors. And that was just, it's over, it's like that book's done, but Leviathan is another section of that book series, so yeah. I think it's really awesome.
Yeah, and that's just really cool that they have this opportunity to expand more on this just super in-depth universe. I mean, they have so much they can reach from, and honestly, I don't think too many people are going to be too precious with some of this older material, so I think they'll have a little bit more wiggle room without angering too many hardcore fans.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. So, and then before I forget, I just want to talk about how awesome this show looks. It's set in 1946, right?
Mm-hmm.
Looks just like 1946. Feels like 1946.
Oh, and yeah. They're doing a great job.
Yeah, so, like, They took their money and they invested it in the look and feel of this, you know, world, and I'm really excited to see where it goes and mm-hmm. and so on. So what do you think of it?
Well, I mean, so for the first hour, I was definitely drawn in, and it made me want to watch the next episode. And luckily, it was right there, ready to go. I felt like Agent Carter, her character felt a little stiff in the pilot. I mean, she was cool, but we didn't really get too much dimension to her. But I was really, really excited when we roll over into episode two, and you really get to see kind of a more just a looser side to her, like just how she's like chatting with the Jarvis, and how she's my favorite scene of these first two episodes is when she went to check on the milk truck, and she was disguising herself as some sort of a health inspector or something like that. That was hilarious. It really shows you that the range that she can do, that she can really carry this show.
And you're right. And you know what really got me on that was her American accent.
Uh-huh.
So like she had it down. Like when she was talking like she was American, I was like, yep, that she's got it. So
yeah, she's just a real talent. Episode two really solidified it for me. I mean, I was going to watch all these eight episodes no matter what. But episode two really, really got it going. It was really exciting. You were talking about how great the sets look, and I think it's also good to point out how good the special effects look.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for just a network TV show, I mean, yeah, they got Disney behind them and everything, but man, they are definitely making these explosions, these grand action scenes look wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm glad you pointed out, because there are definitely, like, anyone who was worried there wouldn't be action, there's action.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to see, like, her and Jarvis roll up and, you know, blow some stuff up, this is a show to watch.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, and I think that's the best thing to note. The super surprise character out of nowhere is Jarvis.
Definitely Jarvis. And I was just about to mention, we may know Jarvis, you know, from the Marvel Universe as Tony Stark's AI, right?
Yeah.
Runs his house, runs his suit. Jarvis was an actual person back in the 40s. So you get to meet the guy this is AI's based on. So
sorry, taking a sip of water over here.
No, you're good. I know you're in a drought over there. Get all the water you can.
That's true. But yeah, I mean, there's great characters. I'm interested to see how they can evolve this plot over eight episodes. I think it's great. It doesn't seem like there's going to be too much filler. I'll be really curious to see. I mean, I'm sure this is going to get a season two. Like, just, I'm positive this is going to get a second season. So I'm curious if we're just going to get more eight-episode seasons. Or are they going to draw this out a little bit? Maybe 13 episodes? I mean, is there possibly a 22, 23-episode season of Agent Carter in the future? Who knows?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's doing a great job as a filler while we wait for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to return.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, like, you know, if you expand it to 23-episode seasons, imagine the budget costs on that. To look like the 40s, but like I think it's holding me over. I don't have, you know, Marvel withdrawal.
Yeah, that's true. So I think it's safe to say you're gonna love it. Give it a shot.
And if you don't, let us know.
Yeah,
give us your feedback. Speaking of TV shows, real quick, today actually on the 11th of January, the CW announced that Arrow and Flash are renewed for their next seasons.
Oh, my jams.
Yeah, all so right. Arrow Season 3 is confirmed, and Flash Season 2 is confirmed.
Man, the best thing about these shows is Flash is like version 2.0 for the CW superhero shows. I feel like they've been able to learn everything that they can from producing Arrow, and the Flash is just this wonderful sci-fi superhero action. And Arrow is kind of gives you more of that broody Batman vibe, because who knows if we're ever going to see Batman on TV.
Gotham.
Besides Gotham. Yeah. But these shows are just great.
Yeah. And joining them this on actually my birthday, March 17th, ooh, will be iZombie, a Vertigo-based television series. They haven't really done a whole lot to promote this, so hopefully they pick that up in the next couple months.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling this was 100% picked up because of the popularity of The Walking Dead. Yeah. So I'm curious. You know, I haven't read it. I don't know much about it. I mean, we'll just see. I mean, the CW has been doing a pretty good job. We'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. Good luck to them and those shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back to Agent Carter, most of us tuned in for one thing, the Ant-Man trailer.
Oh,
the very
yeah.
first trailer, teaser trailer, I apologize, teaser trailer for Marvel's Ant-Man movie.
They saved it till that very, very last commercial break.
The very last commercial break. Well, Mike here on the West Coast, where were you at? You were on the Marvel YouTube page?
Yeah, I was on the Marvel Entertainment YouTube page because I knew that they would put this thing up right away. So I was just sitting there hitting refresh, kept texting you, asking, has it aired yet? And I keep refreshing.
Yeah, definitely. I was watching it. As soon as it aired, I let him know, but like he was refreshing it. I think you were on it as soon as I was.
Oh, yeah. I was at like I was under the 301 club. I think I was view 171. So that was my achievement for the week, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty good one. that debuted. Marvel gave some stats. Apparently, that had more initial views than the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
Man, like when I hear that, that just totally surprises me. Just because I feel like just on base, if you just look at these two movies total superficially, Guardians of the Galaxy just seems so much more interesting. You know, it's basically like some sort of crazy jacked up Star Wars with crazy characters. And then you have Ant-Man, which is a guy who shrinks. So it's crazy that those initial views are so high. Like I don't know how to explain it. That's crazy.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, you got to take a look at them. Like these two movies had like the biggest, like, you know, teaser trailer views of all time, and they're new properties. Like, they're not sequels. They're not characters we know and love.
Yeah, I think that's a big testament to the brand that Marvel's making. I mean, they could just put anything out in the theater now, and people are going to trust them. The people that don't follow these characters, they're going to understand that a Marvel movie is going to be good. Who cares if it's a guy named Ant-Man? You know, that's the best part of the trailer. They poke fun at the name, which I think was really important to do, because I think everyone, when they heard they were making Ant-Man, were just like, oh, how are they going to make that work?
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I find that very, very close to the Guardians trailer when they're like, well, what a bunch of a-holes.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, they say the Guardians of the Galaxy, but like, they really weren't the whole movie until the end. So maybe Ant-Man's not really going to be quote unquote Ant-Man until, you know, he earns that name.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
But I think if we really take a look at the trailer, in my opinion, it was weird.
Yeah. It's definitely different. Like, we've talked about this before. It's an emotional trailer. It's not funny in like the laugh out loud funny ways. It's not full of action. Right. You get a lot of shots of Paul Rudd playing Scott Lang and his daughter. And that's something you don't see in any Marvel movies. Some hero with an actual family under him.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really important tone to set in the movie. Because, I mean, that's really what's going to set it apart. I mean, we don't really have any sort of that father-daughter connection in any of the other Marvel movies.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and if you look at, you know, Hank Pym and his daughter, Hope Van Dyne, in the movie, played by Michael Douglas and Evangeline Lilly, respectively. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is a family movie. This is a movie about family at its core. And this Ant-Man suit's tagged along for the ride.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Like, there's no way I'm not going to see the movie.
Right.
But just as from a marketing point of view, that the trailer just set off a weird vibe, which I think is easily proven with a video that you shared with me earlier this week. It was basically taking the second half of the trailer and just kind of swapping in a different audio track. I don't really remember the type of music, what it was off the top of my head.
It was more of a – it had a very quick drum beat to it, and it was more like something humorous. Like, not – laugh out loud humorous, but, you know, more upbeat and quicker.
Yeah, it was definitely more upbeat, and it just totally changed the second half of that trailer, and it actually got me really excited, which was something really funny. It's something simple as just the audio in a trailer. So I think when we finally get that first real trailer for Ant-Man, I think we're definitely going to get a different vibe from it.
Do you think we're going to see it at the Super Bowl next month?
Man, that's a good question. I mean, I feel like, what does Marvel do? Because Ultron and Ant-Man come out within what, a month of each other this year?
Two months.
So they're both summer movies. So, you know, are they going to really make the Ant-Man push after Ultron comes out? Or are they just going to market them together? Well, who knows?
Well, I mean, honestly, they really haven't done too much of an Ultron push yet. Mm-hmm. And that comes out first weekend of May. And, you know, I remember the very first Avengers trailer during the Super Bowl. They played Nine Inch Nails, We're in This Together. And mm-hmm. when I think of that trailer and I think of that moment, it was so awesome. So I think we'll definitely see an Age of Ultron trailer. But, man, I think you're right. They won't do that push until April, May.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but April's going to bring us something else Marvel-y.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, you know, all that stuff might coincide, you know, but if we're, you know, if we're talking about release dates now, I think we can put Ant-Man to bed right now and we can talk about what Fox has announced last week.
Oh my gosh, Fox, I don't know if they're geniuses or just pulling things out of their respective asses sometimes. The biggest thing, you know, I think everyone's talking about it because no one's expected this, was Gambit getting his own standalone movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had no idea. We all heard the pitter-pattering of Gambit being in the next X-Men movie. You know, they made the Channing Tatum announcement. People were hot. People were cold on it. I personally could go either way. I think Channing Tatum has done great work previously, so I'm not going to write him off. But I think people, you know, should just cool it a little bit. You know, Gambit is part of the X-Men, but he's not a Wolverine, you know. He's never been in a comic where he's led the X-Men, I don't believe.
Yeah, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but like that also, you know, worries me that, you know, how's the Gambit standalone series going to do?
Like, yeah, I mean,
he's always been a very good supporting character. If you think back to the animated show where a lot of people will have those fond memories of him, he was a great supporting character. But you're right, I'd never seen him lead anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely going to be accompanying X-Men in the movie. I mean, there'll definitely be mutants, that's for sure. I'm sure they'll throw an X-Men in there. He's going to need someone to play opposite to. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I honestly wouldn't know who his villains would be.
Yeah, because I know he had a limited run of his own comic issue maybe like a year or two ago, like right when Marvel Now launched, I believe.
Yeah, there was one finishing up with the Marvel Now starting.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I can't think of any villain, you know, other than, you know, he was a thief, so he has the Thieves Guild in Nolans, so to speak.
Yeah, so I think they'll probably try to draw on that, but I think it's really going to come down to his accent, honestly. I think if he can't pull it off, just don't do one. I mean, I'm sure we're all going to want to see the Gambit that we knew and loved from the 90s cartoon show, but if you can't pull off that Cajun accent, just leave it alone.
And, you know, lastly, before you, Gambit is already a movie title, definitely not related to this.
Uh-huh.
And so if you just put a movie, Gambit, releasing October 7th, 2016, that doesn't really roll off the tongue.
No.
That doesn't tell people it's the X-Men they know and love, and
uh-huh.
I think they're going to have to work on that title a lot. I hope it's not X-Men Origins Gambit, because
they already
shot themselves in the foot.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to roll off well. But, you know, we'll have to wait until we see more. I'm really interested to see what he's going to look like in the costume.
I think they're going to try to shoehorn him in X-Men Apocalypse, which also comes out of May 2016, to set him up before that. So I think it'll take place in the 80s, 90s, and have to deal with that as well. So
yeah, it'll be a good way to introduce the character.
Yeah. All right. Next up is a movie, Fantastic Four 2.
Yeah.
June 2nd, 2017, but go on.
Which is just hilarious considering we don't have a shred of anything for the Fantastic Four movie that's coming out this year.
Yeah. Why would they announce a Fantastic Four 2 when they've yet to make a good Fantastic Four movie to begin with?
Yeah. I mean, I understand that these studios, they need and they want these superhero franchises. And, you know, you can look back and you can see almost every superhero movie that's been made has been turned into some form of franchise. But it's just like they're totally counting their chickens before they hatch.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, like, the only images I've seen of Fantastic Four were leaked green screen images of Dr. Doom fighting the Thing and the Human Torch.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel they were very real because Fox sent me a notice saying, take these down off my comic UI. So I feel they were pretty legit. And, like, honestly, Doom didn't look that good. But, you know, who knows at this point? Like, the movie comes out, the Fantastic Four 1 comes out August of this year.
Yeah.
And we've seen more of Star Wars, which comes out in December, than we have a Fantastic Four. So that kind of worries me.
Yeah, it's pretty worrisome. I mean, I don't really have too much of an issue with the age of the cast. I know some people were kind of concerned that they were young, but I mean, I'm more familiar, I think, with the Ultimate Universe of the Fantastic Four, and though they were all young and it worked just fine. So, you know, if you're worried out there, don't worry too much about the ages. I'd be worried more that they're trying to turn Dr. Doom into an antisocial blogger, which is the only shred of story info that we seem to have right now.
I can't even respond to that. I don't even know what to do.
Yeah, like, what does that mean? Does that mean, like, maybe before he becomes Dr. Doom, like, he's just, like, some kid blogging, and then he becomes evil, and then that's just all pushed to the side? I don't know.
I'm Dr. Doom. I blog, so I must be Dr. Doom.
Oh, man. You might be Professor Chaos from South Park, but I don't know about Dr. Doom.
Oh, man. That's low. So, yeah. All right, yeah, Fantastic Four 2, June 2nd, 2017. Add that to your calendar of billions of comic book superhero movies releasing.
Yeah, all right, so we got two more, I think.
Yeah, two more. Just a quick touch up. You know, they're superhero-related, kind of not, but, like, Planet of the Apes 3, right? Mm-hmm. The sequel to Rise of the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, or whatever that title is.
Yeah, whatever it is. I don't remember.
July 14th, 2017. So if you like those Planet of the Apes movies, you're going to get a third one.
Yep.
I think you said this the other day, Mike. Hopefully it ends at 3. We don't need to see it go on forever.
Oh yeah. I mean, I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be Planet of the Apes, but I'm just kind of craving a solid trilogy. I'm tired of these third movies being broken up into two parts, or just, you know, just what happened to the nice classic trilogy. That's what I'm looking for. I'd like to see it, and maybe Planet of the Apes will be lucky.
Yeah, Spider-Man 3 is what happened to the classic trilogy. And then lastly, Assassin's Creed, coming out December 21st, 2016.
Well, now that'll be interesting.
Yep, the game's huge hits with people. I didn't mind the first one too much, but the biggest hit is Michael Fassbender is in the starring role.
Oh yeah, and he's gonna draw some box office.
And definitely, you know, I don't think he would do something that he deems too awful to be done.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we're all really looking forward to the first video game movie to really just kick things off. I mean, I'm just waiting to see that first video game movie blockbuster, and then there's just going to be a huge rush of all these studios acquiring video game intellectual properties, and we're going to be seeing basically what we're seeing with superheroes now. We've got this huge superhero rush, and I think next up is going to be the video game rush.
Yeah, and like you said, hopefully they can, you know, make it the Iron Man of video game movies. Kick it off right, get it done, and then maybe when people start buying up, they'll start doing video games in the right way.
Yeah, and I think it's just a matter of time. I mean, I just think in the past they haven't taken them seriously, but now I think they're being taken seriously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see how that goes. Hopefully we don't have another Super Mario Brothers on our hands.
I think there's a lot of other examples, but I think that one works too.
Yeah, yeah. So, speaking of Fox, since they've announced these four movies, their entertainment executive vice president of marketing communications.
Well, that's a mouthful.
How does he fit that on a business card? Is my question.
He needs two.
James Finn has confirmed that there is a rogue cut of X-Men: Days of Future Past, and it'll be released summer of this year.
Now that excites me. Because I thought Days of Future Past was just a total shock to me. I went in with super low expectations because, unlike most people out there, I wasn't the biggest fan of First Class. I mean, it was definitely better than X-Men Wolverine Origins, that's for sure. But, you know, I was kind of lukewarm on First Class. So, you know, going into the theaters, I was like, I don't really know what to expect here. They're trying a whole lot, you know. We're getting some time travel. We're getting, like, two different Magnetos, two different Xaviers. But, man, I was totally surprised with the awesomeness of that film. So, I mean, if we can get this look into what it could have been with Rogue, I'll definitely pick that up.
Yeah, and for those, you know, who don't know, Rogue appears in Days of Future Past already at the end, you know, when Wolverine wakes up, so to speak. But there's a version of the movie where Kitty Pryde gets stabbed with Wolverine's claws, right?
Yeah.
And they have to find someone to take her place, and what can Rogue do? Absorb powers. So they have to go break her out of a mutant concentration camp, so they send Xavier and Magneto on, like, this journey to free her. And I just think that would be awesome to see those two team up and take down some Sentinels and free her and then bring her back.
Oh yeah, I think it's gonna be great. I mean, I think they probably cut it out of the movie because it just messed with the pacing of it. It would probably just be easier to just leave it the way it was, and they probably made the right decision. But I'm sure gonna be chomping at the bit to see this.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'll definitely be adding this one to my collection as well. Back to Marvel. What are you excited to see this year, Mike?
Oh man, what could I possibly be excited to see?
Well, I'll tell you who's not seeing it. Daredevil.
Oh yeah, I've been really excited for this because I think the one of the biggest complaints I've had with Marvel TV right now is the lack of some serious grittiness. And I think when it comes down to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., my biggest pet peeve is this night-night gun that they seem to be running around with. It makes me feel like I'm watching like a Saturday morning cartoon show where they have to use laser guns instead of real bullets. So I've heard that some executives said that the tone of this Daredevil series is supposed to feel something like The Wire, you know, something serious, something brooding, something dark, which really coincides with the type of character that Daredevil is. So with this release date announced, it's really exciting because originally we were supposed to be getting this in May. Yep. But now we get a little bit of a present and it's coming out 4/10/15,
April 10th, 2015, before tax day even. So
oh,
that's even better. So I mean, I expected it late May after Ultron, you know, settled to mm-hmm. kind of give us something to work on over until Ant-Man came out. But mm-hmm. Daredevil, man, I'm excited. Like you said, it's supposed to be grittier and more brutal. And, you know, from the images, you know, it's done at nighttime. He's wearing mm-hmm. his ninja suit from the Frank Miller run.
Oh, that'll be sweet.
And I've also heard, you know, Stephen DeKnight, the executive producer, he says it's not a PG-13 and it's not quite an R rating. It's like a PG-15.
Uh-huh.
So I do expect some brutality and a little bit of blood.
Ooh, that's going to be good. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And I think it's great that we can just binge this all on Netflix. I mean, I'm gonna be a shut in when that comes out.
Yep, 13 episodes, an hour long a piece, man. That's gonna be quite the day or half day.
Oh, I'm gonna get the snacks ready, and I'm just gonna go crazy.
It's a baker's dozen of episodes, so you know, yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah, but we've gotten something. We've got an official teaser poster for this, right?
Yes, we definitely did. You can find this on Comic UI if you haven't seen it. It's a poster of, you know, the Hell's Kitchen part of New York, which is surprising because I didn't see Avengers Tower in the background of this picture.
Oh, yeah.
I want to point that out. Avengers Tower was not in the background, but it's in Hell's Kitchen, and there are red lights lighting up the street in the form of the Daredevil letters.
Mm-hmm.
The D and then the other D on the inside of it, kind of lower to the right.
Mm-hmm.
The double Ds, as we referred to it earlier. So we got to see Daredevil's double Ds. And yeah, honestly, I had shell shock from this poster.
Oh,
some PTSD reminding me because it looks a lot like the 2003 Daredevil.
I mean, that movie was pretty, I mean, it was ridiculous, I mean, to be honest. But I don't think we're going to have to worry about that.
No, I don't. I honestly don't think it's going to be the same. But the image was a little too close. I think I really like their logo, the one that says Daredevil, Netflix, uh-huh. Marvel's Daredevil. Love it. But this D and D stuff, I think they could have done without. I think they could have done something a lot cooler. But honestly, it came with a motion poster, which has sound and video, and it made me think, you know, these are the sounds Daredevil hears.
Sirens. Oh yeah, that would be cool.
Sirens and people screaming and stuff like that. So, you know, that play on sound is really awesome, and I think they're gonna do his abilities justice.
Yeah, and I think the best part about this whole Defender series that's coming together on Netflix is that it's all shot in New York. We're really going to get that vibe of just not a set. It's not going to feel like a studio. They're going out to the streets, and it's going to feel like it's supposed to feel.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really excited. I can't wait. It's, you know, 3 months from yesterday. So, you know, put that down. Netflix is going to be taken down that day from too many people watching it.
Oh man, I guess it'll be one of those good problems, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a first world problem right there.
Oh man.
Speaking of first world problems, I want to end the news section with the biggest rumor ever.
Oh yeah, I mean, you sent me a little bit of info on this earlier this week, and I'm really excited to talk about it.
Yep. So the biggest rumor of the week is that Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, is being split into two films.
Oh, man, that really surprised me. So
and that's not even the big surprise. Here's the big surprise. The first part would release October of this year.
Oh, man. So I need you to go into where you found this rumor from, because I think it was, what, some sort of a screenshot or something?
Yeah,
or?
It was a picture that popped up on Imgur, and it just kind of out of nowhere, you know, kind of like all the good leaks do. Like, if it's a bad one, so, you know, someone takes around and be like, oh, look what I found. Well, yeah, you Photoshopped that. Uh-huh. So the best leaks are the ones you kind of stumble upon. And some you know, other comic book websites stumbled upon this and like, is this real? Is it not real? Mm-hmm. I mean, it looked legit, like a screenshot. Who would make this up is my question.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I'm so surprised. I mean, at the same time, they said we were expecting it in 2016 and in the summer that much. So, I mean, it felt like we had a while to go.
Yeah, but it was definitely on the same day as Captain America 3, Civil War.
Yeah, but originally we were supposed to get it this year. So, you know, when you kind of look at those, it's just like, well, I guess, you know, they might be able to push something out in October, but that's totally out of left field. Total surprise.
Well, part one is titled, as according to this image, Batman versus Superman entered the night, and that's night with a K. So, you know, since this is technically a sequel to Man of Steel, they have to introduce us to the person he's fighting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is Batman. So how do they interest this new Ben Affleck Batman? Mm-hmm. Now, my theory is, you know, maybe if this is, you know, faked, or maybe this wasn't faked and it's just taken out of context, maybe Enter the Night is like an animated short, or like a little short film that's coming out in October to entice us for this bigger film.
Yeah, that could be possible. I mean, we could be reading too much into this, you know, it could be just maybe a little promotional work. I mean, they do it all the time. Sometimes they put out little comic book runs. Sometimes they put out little animated things. And Warner Brothers definitely is on top of these animated movies.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, you know, with this, again, why I could also see it being real is they've shot so much of this movie already.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they showed a teaser at San Diego Comic-Con this past year.
Yeah, they did.
And it's all set up Batman versus Superman, but I don't know if I think there's another villain, because they have Wonder Woman appearing in this.
Mm-hmm.
So why would Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman come together to fight a bigger threat, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So how are they going to get all this fighting into one movie?
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, to give more credibility to the rumor, too, I mean, if you look at the other source of Batman Superman media out there, we have the animated movie, which was split into two parts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's definitely enough content there, but I think the only other villain in that story was just basically some, like, mutated gang or something like that.
They're definitely just mutants, and I don't know I don't think they'll appear in this movie. But, you know, they have everyone else appearing, right? They got Cyborg, they got the Flash cast, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, supposedly Robin, played by Jenna Malone, appearing. Lex Luthor, right? I mean, there's just so much going on. I think there's enough content. They could split it up, but at the same time, they may not, and it could be promotional, like you said.
Yeah, and I mean, also, if we're looking at a release of a gigantic DC superhero movie in October, why have we not seen anything official about it yet? I mean, come on, October.
I'm going to jump back and stop you, because Fantastic Four comes out in August and we've seen nothing on it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But, you know, I was just thinking with something with the weight of a Batman Superman movie, we would see something by now.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, like, again, Super Bowl reveal, maybe.
Now that is exactly a thing that they could do. If they could keep that under wraps, everyone's watching the Super Bowl, bam, Batman Superman trailer, end it with the October release 2015, that's going to take the cake. That's going to overshadow any sort of Ultron trailer.
It's going to
overshadow.
What football game?
Yeah. What football game? This is all about Batman.
Yeah. And I, you know, I don't know. I'm going to mark this up as a rumor and false for now. But we're going to put it on the table as a potential.
Yeah, we definitely need to keep our eye on this and keep track of it, because this is really tantalizing.
Yeah, it really is. So that's our news section for this week, actually.
Yeah.
It's a pretty heavy week, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I think it went pretty well for the very first episode. I think we ran down some really cool things.
Yeah, definitely. So what we're going to do now is going to run down our favorite things for the year. We got a whole year ahead of us, right? We're only like a weekend. So we're going to run down 2015.
All right, let's do it.
And I'm going to give you my most anticipated movies, you know, in no valid order.
Like, let's hear it. Let's hear it. I'm excited.
Okay, first up, Kingsman: The Secret Service.
Oh yeah, that looks cool.
All right, it's directed by Matthew Vaughn. He did X-Men: First Class. You know, it's got Colin Firth as a Kingsman, kind of like a James Bond type character.
Mm-hmm.
Recruiting a younger guy to kind of join this crew and be part of them. The R-rated trailer is pretty awesome. Even the regular trailer is pretty sweet.
Wait, hold on just a second. This movie is rated R?
There's a red band trailer, so I assume it is rated R.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so I have to admit, I didn't know anything about this before I saw the trailer at first, and I think I saw it at the tail end of last year in the front of, I can't think of the movie off the top of my head, possibly Interstellar, but I saw the trailer and I was kind of taken back by it. I was like, what is this? I've never heard of it before. But, you know, seeing like kind of these teenagers, I was assuming, oh, you know, this is something in the vein of like the Hunger Games or like the Divergent movies or maybe even the Maze Runner. But now that you're telling me that it's rated R, like, this totally throws me off.
I'm going to compare it more to Wanted than anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited. It makes, like, if you can make Colin Firth look like a badass, you got it in my book. And it's also a comic book movie. I don't know a lot of people know that.
Oh, yeah, because I didn't know that.
Yeah, Kingsman is a comic book movie, and it comes out February 13th. We got a month to go. That's a Valentine's Day movie, guys.
Oh, well, now that it's rated R, it just makes me a little bit more excited.
Second up on my list, you know, again, these are in no order, Age of Ultron.
No surprise there.
First weekend of May, like, that sets the summer movie tone, is that weekend of May. And Marvel owns it. I think this year was the only year they didn't own the first weekend of May. And Spider-Man did, and I was disappointed.
Oh, I mean, Ultron this year, this is going to be the first bookend of the blockbusters, for sure.
Yeah.
This movie is going to kill it. It's Joss Whedon's last superhero movie for Marvel.
Supposedly.
It's just going to kill it. We all know it's going to be awesome. I think the only thing that we have to worry about is possibly getting our hopes up a little too high.
Yeah, I would think so, but at the same time, I don't know if my hopes are at the peak yet.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, if we look at it, we've had one trailer. We get another one tomorrow, actually, on ESPN.
Uh-huh.
So we'll talk about that next week.
Mm-hmm.
We've not really seen a lot from the twins in this, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see more from them. I want to see more Ultron. I'm dying to see more of him because, you know, James Spader, Ultron, if you watch The Blacklist, you're going to get a teaser for Ultron.
Oh, yeah.
He's so brutal. Like, it's going to take us to a place we've never seen. And speaking of that, they have a new director of photography on this film.
Oh, yeah?
Have you seen how, like, much more like a movie it looks? Like, Avengers 1, my biggest spot of critique is the cinematography.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
It's too bright. It's too lit. It's lit like kind of like a comedy, all right?
Mm-hmm.
This one's done more like a drama.
Okay.
And I'm really excited to see that film, honestly, play out for us, how it looks.
Yeah, and I think what we need to also expect is this movie is really going to set up this phase 3 in a way where we're going to see a big fracture between all these heroes.
Right, and that kicks off with the first phase 3 movie, Captain America: Civil War,
mm-hmm.
which also stars Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr., which is awesome. I don't even talk about that yet.
We don't even have the time to comprehend what's going on with that.
I just know they're filming that starting in April, so stay tuned. We'll come back with more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up, we already talked about this today, Ant-Man.
Yep.
Ant-Man, that's the last phase 2 Marvel movie. One of the newest properties, you know. Marvel's not really big on focusing on sequels, if you look at their phase 3 lineup. And we have Peyton Reed, you know, he's known for Bring It On, and he did Yes Man. The writers, you know, Adam McKay, he did Anchorman, you know, big on comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marvel, who brought you Iron Man, you know, just like that second trailer did, we talked about earlier. But, like, it's Marvel's good at taking directors who aren't known for doing things and giving them a project that they can turn something into.
Oh, yeah, it's just pretty miraculous.
And we talked about this the other day, you know, the Russo brothers. You know, they were known for Community. And what did they give us?
One of the best Marvel movies ever made.
Yes, Captain America, The Winter Soldier. And now they're supposedly doing Avengers Infinity War 1 and 2.
Oh, they're totally ready for it, too.
They brought something to the table no one expected out of them. Iron Man 1, John Favreau. He did Elf before he did Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
So you have these... You can't judge these directors that go to Marvel based on their previous work. Because I think Marvel lets them do what they want, and it really helps them grow as a director and helps us give us a movie that we want.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Ant-Man is going to give us more Paul Rudd, and I'm never going to turn down a Paul Rudd movie.
No
matter what the critics say.
Yeah, definitely not. And I think Michael Douglas is going to be pretty awesome as Hank Pym.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something people are overlooking, but you know, he's Michael Douglas. So yeah. So after that, you know, Jurassic World.
Oh, okay.
All right. You know, we talked about this again. Jurassic World gives us an open park.
Yeah,
the park is open.
There's people there. It's gonna get crazy.
Yeah, we got a new genetically bred dinosaur. I heard they changed the name of the dinosaur. It used to be called a D-Rex. A Diabolus Rex or something like that.
Yeah,
and now they've changed it to something else.
Okay.
I don't have the exact name, but this is all hearsay.
Yeah,
they'd have to re-record all the audio. To do that, but mm-hmm. Either way, it's got Chris Pratt from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh yeah,
Bryce Dallas Howard. Mm-hmm. She was in Spider-Man 3. We're mm-hmm. not gonna hold that against her. And Ty Simpkins, the little kid from Iron Man 3. So it's like a Marvel movie, right? But it's got so much intrigue and mystery, and like you said, we want to see a movie where the park's open.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're giving us an open park where people go.
I think it's just the logical next step. I think people are going to be worried, though. I mean, the last Jurassic Park movie we got was just nothing even worth talking about, I'd say.
See, I think that depends on who watched. You have people who don't like 2 and people who don't like 3.
But oh, man.
They're never in the same group.
Oh, okay.
So I think, we'll just look back to the original Jurassic Park. Because if you look at this trailer, the shots were taken from Jurassic Park 1.
Oh, okay.
Almost shot for shot. Like, whenever they go through the doors, like, the Jurassic World doors are opening. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. from Jurassic Park 1. I want that mystique and that wonder, and I really hope it gives this to us.
Yeah, and I think Legendary Pictures can handle monster movies pretty well. So I don't think we're set up for failure here at all, but I think I'm a little bit more nervous than you are.
Yeah, trained velociraptors would make anyone nervous. And lastly, this is no surprise here, Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Star Wars! Oh my god.
Exactly. This is goes without saying, honestly, we're getting a 7th Star Wars film, not by George Lucas, and I think that's probably the most exciting thing we can think of.
Oh yeah, I mean, this movie is going to be making history. I think it's gonna beat the box office of Ultron this year. I think Ultron's gonna come on strong, then Star Wars is gonna come out of nowhere and just destroy it.
Whoever loses, Disney still wins.
Yeah, that's true, and we all still win because we're getting these amazing movies.
Yeah,
but I mean, I don't think I could look forward to anything more than Star Wars right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's 11 months away. It's gonna end 2015, but everyone's gonna be there.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm totally looking forward to being able to sit down and we can just chat about this. It's probably gonna be like a 2-hour just session of just like freaking out over it, talking about the future movies. They're setting up a Boba Fett heist movie, which is gonna be insane. So
yeah, I mean, they've already planned out Star Wars 8 and 9 after 7. They've mm-hmm. got the director, I think the guy who did Looper, is
okay.
writing and directing.
Yeah. So, which is gonna be. It's just going to be great. 2015 is going to end wonderfully.
Yeah. And as big as Marvel is, everyone knows Star Wars more than Marvel.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
So that's my top 5. So yeah. What do you got for us, Mike?
Well, I mean, since you are talking about your most anticipated, I think we line up pretty well there. There might be a little difference, but I think I'm going to bring to the table the most unanticipated movies of 2015. I think these are just going to be stinkers. We're going to be talking about these at the end of the year as box office bombs and just all around awful. So
enlighten me.
Yeah, so in order of, I put them in order of release. The first we got coming is Jupiter Ascending. So this is coming February 6th, and it's from the Wachowskis, which really haven't given me anything to get excited about since The Matrix.
You didn't like Speed Racer?
We got Mila Kunis, we got Channing Tatum. See, what really makes me nervous is this was initially supposed to be released back in July 2014. They say it got pushed back due to special effects shots. You know, who really knows what the real reason was? I mean, and just go watch the trailer. It just seems like really bizarre movie. I don't know
if you're familiar with Shadowrun, like the game. It reminds me a lot of Shadowrun, where like magic appeared back on Earth after being dormant. And it's kind of like that. Like, oh, the aliens are coming back to Earth to get us. Like,
oh, okay. Well, I mean, just watch the trailer. I mean, if you can dig Channing Tatum's weird makeup, you might be down with the movie. But this movie, I think, is going to lose a lot of money.
It's more, just shut up, Meg. Because Mila Kunis.
Yeah. All right. And then if we move on to number two here. We have a comedy, March 27th, called Get Hard. Now, this is Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart. They're supposed to be kind of – Will Ferrell is supposed to be some rich guy that's possibly going to prison in, like, a set amount of time. So he comes to Kevin Hart to learn how to get tough so he can survive prison. It's from the directorial debut of Etan Cohen. I guess that's how you say his name. This is his first directorial debut, but he wrote the movies like Idiocracy and Tropic Thunder, which, you know, they were good movies. But I mean, I guess I shouldn't really be questioning his talent so much, because I really enjoyed Tropic Thunder. But I mean, this is his first time directing. We don't know how well that's going to go. But I mean, this is another instance of go watch the trailer. This movie just doesn't look like it's going to be funny. I mean, Will Ferrell has, I mean, props to him for making tons of movies and making tons of money. And then Kevin Hart is really at the height of his fame right now. But I just don't think this movie is going to be funny. And I think we're all going to forget about it 2 weeks after it comes out.
Yeah, this reminded me a lot of that basketball movie Will Ferrell did.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't even think of the title. I think it's going to be one of those, like, it's not a sleeper hit. It's just a sleeper.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll move on from that. July 1st, this is kind of the first blockbuster on my list. We have the new Terminator movie, Terminator Genesis. So I'm not too worried about the director, Alan Taylor, because he gave us Thor Dark World, and before that he was directing Game of Thrones and Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
And those are all good properties. But I mean, this movie is really going to suffer just from the writing. I mean, they're going to have to, I mean, it's supposed to be a reboot. It's not supposed to be a reboot.
I think they're taking one of those Days of Future Past approaches to it. Like, we're going to send someone back in time to change the future, but they've already changed the past back then. So we've got like 8 timelines going on here.
Yeah.
Cause if you watch like the vehicles change, it looks like they jump forward in time once they go back.
Oh, okay.
To like the current time. Cause the vehicles don't line up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think the title is just awful. If they were going to make another Terminator movie, they should have just called it like Terminator Begins or something like that. I mean, give us more of a bookmark for relaunching the series. This movie might make some money, but I just don't think it's going to be very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and then next we move on to a movie that I had no idea was even being made, Point Break Reboot. It's a remake of Point Break, just old action comedy. That if you had a chance to see, it was had Keanu Reeves in it. It was just a really solid, just old action movie. I really enjoyed it. It doesn't need to be remade, and it's being written by the same guy who did the Total Recall reboot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
I guess, you know, they're like, oh, this guy was able to reboot that movie. Let's have him do Point Break. I mean, it's just not going to work. We don't really need this. I looked up the actors who are going to be the leads. I didn't recognize them, so.
I think they're trying to introduce it to a new generation, but, like, just watch the old one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you'll still have a good time watching the old one. It's funny. It's cheesy. We just don't need another one.
Yeah.
All right, and to end my list here, we have yet another Disney live action reboot of their animated movies. It's The Jungle Book. It's coming October 9th. It's being directed by Jon Favreau. And I think we just, none of these reboots have been good.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right. I don't even know if they're reboots, but like, yo, think of Alice in Wonderland.
Oh yeah. And Maleficent, Snow White and the Huntsman.
They're not bad, but they're not good.
Yeah. I mean, none of them have really gotten good reviews. I mean, you obviously see that they're on track of not stopping. I think they're just going to go through every year or two, and they're just going to remake these movies.
Isn't there a Cinderella movie coming out pretty soon?
I'm sure there is.
I think there's Cinderella coming out in the next like month or two. Yeah, it's just that's a really weird trend. Like, I just don't get it. Yeah, are they going to sing the bare necessities? Because that's all I want out of this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pseudo curious of what the movie's going to look like, just because the movie really is carried by animals that talk. I mean, there's really only one human in it. So I'm curious if they're just going to take a totally different approach. They're going to, I mean, usually these are being turned into action movies. So how do you turn this into an action movie? I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, props to Jon Favreau. I mean, maybe he'll do a good job.
You know, I think let's I'm going to tie this one back. You said this one comes out October 9th.
Uh-huh.
I've not seen a thing for it.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're still filming it.
Oh, man, I mean,
and you said Batman can't make October 15th.
So who knows? I mean, I think this is going to be rough. I think it's just going to be right in line with the other ones. So, yeah, not anticipating any of those movies this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to agree with you. I don't know if I'll watch any of those in theater. Maybe Terminator. Out of, like, blind hope that Alan Taylor can make something out of it.
Yeah, just some curiosity.
Yeah, really just curiosity. Because honestly, the actor who's playing his dad that he sends back in time is Jay Courtney.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't stand him. Something about his face just makes me, like, not want to watch any movie he's in.
One of those, what do they call them, punchable faces?
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's in, like, that Insurgent series or Divergent series. And, like, I was like, I see you. I don't want to watch this anymore. And he was in the Die Hard as, like, John McClane's son. And I don't know. Either way.
Yeah.
You made a great list here. And let's hope they turn out as bad as you expect.
Yeah. Well, I think 2015 is just going to be, it's just going to be crazy, just like 2014 was. So bring it on.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, if you have a list, you know, what's your movie you want to see that we missed, or what's a movie you don't want to see that we missed? Like, tell us.
Yeah. Just head over to superheroslate.com. You can contact us through us there. Please subscribe to the podcast. We're on iTunes. We're on YouTube. You can sign up for our email newsletter, get all of our posting and updates. This is going to be a weekly thing. Every Monday, we're going to bring you the news, and, you know, we hope you love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we got, I want to wrap this up under an hour here, so let's do some quick shameless plugs. How about that?
All right. Well, if you want to keep up with me, you can follow me on Twitter at Mike Royer Design. I'm a web designer by day. I'm a web comic artist by night for PickledComics.com. Just keep up with what I'm doing.
Yeah, and he's doing a Draw 365 or something like that, where he's drawing a character face every day, right, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to flesh out my my expressions for characters. So yeah, every day I'm posting up a picture on Instagram of a character face. Same handle, Mike Royer Design. So check that out.
Yeah, follow those. Those are really cool. I like to watch those. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Valdan, Valdan. That's my video game name I made up when I was 15, and I'm going to stick with it. So.
hold on to that bad boy.
Yeah, you're going to hold on to that. You can read my articles on Comic UI. Those are all news-based. You can follow me on Nerd Traffic. That's more of a technology opinion-based website. Mm-hmm. But I'm all over both of those. So, you know, we're glad you listened and hope you like the show.
Yeah, I mean, I think this little project's going to be fun. But I'm looking forward to talking to you next week, and I hope to see all you guys there.
Yeah, see you later.
All right, adios.